Thank you, Ron, for reading our scripture passage from Amos this morning. We heard those words, hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate. Another translation says, hate evil and love, then work it out in the public square. Let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Another translation says, do you know what I want? Says God. I want justice. Oceans of it. I want fairness. Rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want. Hate evil, love good, let justice roll down. Hate, love, let. We receive three strong imperatives, three urgent commands in this morning's text. Hate, love, and let. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, conceit, or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. The lectionary splits this morning's text, giving us the introduction and then the very heart of the book of Amos. And so as a result, we really don't have all the details. Amos says he hates evil, or God hates evil, but we aren't sure what evil is. So what is going on in Amos's time? A simple synopsis of the first couple of chapters makes clear that Amos is a prophet living in a time of mass inequality, where the rich get richer, while to the poor, they suffer more and more. Chapter 2 says this, they buy and sell upstanding people. To people, they are only things, ways of making money. They'd sell a poor man for a pair of shoes. They'd sell their own grandmother. They grind the penniless into the dirt, shove the luckless into the ditch. The stuff that they've extorted from the poor is piled up at the shrine of their God. While they sit around drinking wine, they've conned from their victims. Chapter 3, verse 10 says, God says they can't or won't do the right thing. They stockpile violence and blight. God then speaks to those guilty of perpetuating the suffering of those in need and says, woe to you who turn justice to vinegar and stomp righteousness into the mud. You bully right-living people, taking bribes right and left and kicking the poor when they're down. Because you run roughshod over the poor and take the bread right out of their mouths, you will never get what you really want. Now a thief will steal from you when you are out of your house, but a robber will do it right in your face. A robber bets that you will run rather than stand. A robber bets you will just let it go, that you will say and do nothing. A robber will do it while they're looking right at you. In Amos's time, those in power, both claiming political and religious power, were robbing the poor in daylight. They were robbing those in need of money, safety, and dignity. And it was a time of bold injustice for everyone to see. It didn't take a genius, an ethics professor, or a political science degree to see what was going on. In fact, Amos was just a shepherd. And even he saw the poor being robbed, the bread snatched right out of the mouths of the hungry. Amos calls this evil. We might say immoral and unjust. It is bad news for the poor, and therefore it is bad news to God. You may be aware that on November 1st, 42 million Americans across this country lost their SNAP benefits. That is about 1.5 million people here in Ohio lost supplemental nutrition. That is one in every 12 residents in our state. They've been robbed of promised funds to help them with groceries and essentials, offsetting costs for medical expenses, childcare, or rent. And while those who receive SNAP are often characterized as people of color with many children looking for handouts, unwilling to work, the truth is that is a blatant lie. If it mattered, which it should not, the numbers tell us that the face of SNAP and welfare is overwhelmingly white, often in rural settings. In fact, in Ohio, 40% of those who receive SNAP are 18 years or younger. They are children, young adults, growing bodies, and growing minds, who on November 1st have seen a reduction or a taking of needed benefits. This snatching of bread right out of their mouths of those in need, it is robbery, evil, or what might we say, immoral and unjust. It's bad news for the poor, and therefore it is bad news to God. Mary Shelley, a 49-year-old employee at a grocery store in Middletown, Ohio, relies on customers to shop using their SNAP benefits in her store. And since November 1st, she has witnessed a significant decrease in the number of people who visit her store. And even though she has a full-time job, Mary receives herself $500 of SNAP a month in addition to her $12 an hour salary. Due to the high cost of living, her pay is quickly depleted on rent, electricity, her cell phone, and Wi-Fi, which we all depend on some level. It's robbing those who are working. Young families, young mothers who need to purchase formula for their babies, an expense that I know very well these days, formula which can range from $30 to $50 or more if a child has specific allergies, rely on that assistance to feed their babies. Older adults are greatly affected, including those who rely on Meals on Wheels, as their ability to afford healthy food and the services they depend on is being threatened or taken away. And so why, might be the question. Why is this happening now? Well, some say it is because of the shutdown over keeping 24 million Americans' health insurance affordable. Many of the same who rely on SNAP face premiums that could double in January. However, the root cause ultimately stems from what Amos is dealing with in his time, and that is blatant greed and the shirking of responsibility to care for the well-being of one's neighbor. It is the work of an administration and those who are too afraid to stand up to it who boldly rob the poor. Amos called it evil. We may say immoral and unjust. It is bad news for the poor, and therefore it is bad news to God. In our scripture reading, it was actually God's people, the church, who turned their back on the poor, if you caught that, who engaged in the taking of those in need, who witnessed robbery in broad daylight and said nothing and did nothing. And with blistering critique, God tells people of faith, I can't stand, I hate your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations, and image making. Who are God's people called to be in such a time? What are God's people called to say or do? How do they respond to bad news like this? Now, I'm going to be real for a moment. There are a lot of Christians today who read Scripture. Yet when I talk with them, it is clear that they are worshiping a different God. They may be able to quote the golden rule, but when it comes to putting it into practice, they can't serve a God of universal compassion and justice. For in Christ, we have come to see this God most fully as one who has good news for the poor, good news for the sick, good news for the unhoused and the immigrant. And when one in 12 neighbors have the bread snatched right from their mouths, if our worship and our relationship with God does not cause us to pause, weep, or get angry, we may be worshiping a different God as well. Through Amos, God directs God's people to do three things: hate, love, and let. The first two go together. It says, hate evil. Not people. The text does not say to go on Facebook and sling personal attacks at your second cousin for their post. No, it doesn't say treat people unkindly because of the bumper sticker on their car. No, the text says hate evil. Hate what is being done to the poor. Hate the unfairness, the injustice of it all. Hate how divided and self-serving our society is becoming and how, by design, keeps people from accessing justice, the things that they need. Hate evil. But in that same breath, Amos says, we are called to love good. Good. That word in Hebrew, tov, harkens back to creation, when God created the sea, land, and every creature, including human creature. God created them good for doing goodness. Before there was sin, before apples or snakes, there was original goodness. And we are to love it. We are to love it. The indwelling goodness of creation, of our neighbor, and yes, even those who would rob the poor. Each of us needs to work out for ourselves and with God how to have compassion for everyone we meet. Yet at the same time, be willing to stand where Jesus stands and with everything in our being, resist the temptation to make peace with injustice. Hate evil, love good. And finally, it all has built to this, worship, prayers, build to this last command, to let justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Now I'll tell you what this looks like in the public square. Shortly after November 1st, a father and his sons, who live in Pittsburgh, noticed the needs of their community were increasing. People they said hi to every day, some of the friends of the sons, they realized that they were already feeling the strain of resources. And so they had this idea. They decided to use their front yard to let justice roll down. They set up this front yard food pantry. And one day, the father went to the mailbox just last week, and it contained an envelope. And inside were $100 bills and this handwritten note that said, "May God prosper and bless your food pantry." No signature, no recognition, just faith. This act of worship was an act of justice. It was good news for the poor. Therefore, this is good news for God. And God does not stop here. It rolled on. This sparked a chain reaction of additional donations, including one from the local police department. And then that ripple spread through Pittsburgh, and now others around the country are setting up front yard food pantries to help those with immediate needs. And maybe you're thinking, yeah, I could do that in my house. It spreads. And this is what justice looks like as it is rolling through. But it has to be more than just this. Saint Oscar Romero was an El Salvadorian priest who devoted his life to serving those who had bread snatched from their mouths. He noticed that justice was more than feeding people. It was also about speaking truth and revealing greed and abuse of power, which made it necessary. He quickly discovered that accountability was not popular among others. You can feed the poor, but don't dare question the system. You can feed the poor, but don't envision that bold, inclusive kingdom of God here on this earth. And so he once said, "When I give food to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why the poor have no food, they call me a communist. When I give food to the poor, they call me a saint. And when I dare to ask why the poor have no food, they call me a communist." Even though it was dangerous, he was compelled by something bigger, more loving, to bring good news to the poor. And like Christ, that does come with a cost. This way of living and loving cost him his life. But because Romero witnessed, justice continues to roll down and continues to roll down to us this morning. So when 1 in 12 of our neighbors lack what they need, when that one is likely to be a child, hate evil. When we confront leaders about the impact of their choices, or when we confront relatives or friends about the reality of our actions or our vote, love good. And when we not only feed those in need, but dare to ask why it's necessary, let justice roll. Like water, let justice roll down, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.